you could focus on, for example, some 500 odd legislators in the federal legislature, right, in the Congress. And if a majority of those people are orange pilled, then you're going to have an outsized effect on financial policy. You're going to have an outsized effect on Bitcoin perception. The media will have a much harder time smashing Bitcoin if legislators are all about it. It will just be harder.
You're listening to the Wake Up Podcast with Alex Fetsky, the place where the most dynamic thinkers and practitioners in the world drop truth bombs and contrarian viewpoints to help you become the best version of yourself. Find us on the Fountain app and send us a boost with a comment.
Back by popular demand is my good friend, Rob Malka. After what was one of the most listened to episodes of all time, people wanted to hear us philosophize some more. If you've not yet listened to the original show, go and hear that one for his background story. Your mind will be blown. It's episode number 62. In this new Malka series, we start with an exploration of the Bitcoin Today Coalition, the state versus Bitcoin and their relationship, and the My First Bitcoin project that he's working on, which is all about Bitcoin education. We do this before, in subsequent episodes, we move into some heavier topics, including Nietzsche, Rousseau, and the like. You can find Rob's work at malkarobert.com, and remember to subscribe to the Wake Up Podcast for more. Enjoy the show.
Mr. Malka, welcome back, buddy.
Hey.
Good
to be back.
It's an early morning. We're both fucking half asleep, so let's make the most of this one. I think we're probably going to do another marathon. To give you a bit of an update, what I've started doing is, instead of doing these 2.5-3 hour podcasts, I record them that way, but then I'm going to split them up into episodes, basically. So a little bit more like what Breedlove does, so that way it's more digestible for people. So let's give this one all we got, and then we can break it down a little bit.
Sweet. And then after that, we're just a couple steps from a postmodern podcast where you take random parts of the podcast and rearrange them out of
deconstruct and then reconstruct.
Yeah.
that's the plan.
Psyched. Cool.
So dude, tell me, last time we caught up, actually, do you know what, the first podcast that we did is actually in the top probably 7 or 8 listened to podcasts that I've ever done.
No shit.
Yeah. And it was, we didn't even get to promote it properly because, what's it called? You needed some edits in there, and, you know, then we didn't edit it, and, you know, it took a while to get it was like this bit of a clusterfuck in there. Right. But it still got like the 7th most listened to podcast of all. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, wow. And honestly, it was absolutely one of my,
we had a great time. Yeah, we had a great time.
We really did. Really did. And we obviously finally got to meet in Miami, which is good too. So, albeit, man, that was fucking noisy, man. Honestly, after Miami, I was like, I'm done with humanity. I'm done with people. I just want to leave for a little while. It's too much.
I was talking to an Uber driver there, and they said something like, Miami is the best parts of Vegas and LA.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, together. And I thought, I think that would still make me feel the way.
Yeah. Like, you want to puke.
So there you go.
Jesus. Well, look, today we've got like a whole list of things that we can go through, but maybe to just kick off, to let people know about two of the things you've been working on recently. So the Bitcoin Today Coalition and the Mi Primer Bitcoin, or My First Bitcoin initiative happening down. It is in Salvador, right? That's where Carolina and the guys are doing it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So maybe give us a quick overview of those two things, and then we'll go get into some philosophy.
Yeah. So basically, I'm on the board of the Bitcoin Today Coalition, amazing group of people getting together to educate legislators and regulators and policymakers about Bitcoin. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple. Mm-hmm. So we've been building contacts in DC and in states throughout the United States. I mean, we're focusing obviously on the United States only right now. But the results have been great. I mean, we pushed against the infrastructure bill. We've been stopping the New York moratorium bill. We've gotten California senators interested. We have senators interested in Montana and Michigan, right? I mean, for their state legislatures, which is phenomenal.
Interested in what?
Yeah. Take it.
Interested in what?
Interested in creating a pro regulatory environment for Bitcoin, a pro Bitcoin regulatory environment, which is I think what we want, right? We want miners to be incentivized to come to those states. Right. We want stranded energy to be used. We want methane gas to be funneled in such a way that it doesn't just get up into the atmosphere. There are all kinds of things. You know, we want to fight the ESG narrative, and I mean, it's a pretty outrageous narrative that never seems to benefit the actual environment in any way. So I think attacking, there are obviously several political attack vectors going on for Bitcoin. And I know there are a lot of Bitcoin maxis who say, well, look, it doesn't matter what happens, Bitcoin will survive. Mm-hmm. That's of course true. But I have an interest in, and of course other members of the coalition, and I think members even outside of the coalition, have an interest in seeing the United States get a geopolitical hold on on the future. And places like the Central African Republic and El Salvador are obviously putting Bitcoin on, making Bitcoin a part of their financial system. And I think that's wonderful. We would also like to take genuine political steps toward integrating Bitcoin into the United States and letting it be a place that works, right? Rather than have a totalitarian CBDC world for any length of time.
A couple questions on that, actually, because I go back and forth on this. In one sense, I say that, hey, it's the state and the state apparatus and their cronies, fuck them. They should just dissolve under the weight of their own stupidity. And in the end, we win. And we win by virtue of outlasting them. So similar to kind of how we have inadvertently won the COVID war because all the hysterics ran out of energy. At the end of the day, that's actually what won this whole COVID battle, was that, hysteria requires a level of energy to keep being hysterical, and everyone's just tired. They're like, ah, fuck, all right. So like, you literally, like, there'd be zombies outside the window right now. It's like, oh, okay, it's Monday, like that's how I think, tired everyone is from all this shit. So I guess, in the end, my argument for Bitcoin is kind of similar, is that it's like, hysteria, anti-Bitcoin hysteria at some point just kind of end up dissolving because it requires so much energy to push up against. But then, the other part of me is like, well, having spent some time in the US and other countries and this and that, I do see the value of having a foothold in a territory so that it doesn't go full retard. And that was one of the things that brought me to Texas for a little while when I was there. It was this, it was one of the only places in the world where you didn't have to wear a face diaper and, you didn't have to pretend like the flu was going to kill you and all this sort of stuff. And I guess one could argue that was a function of the fact that, there was some sort of political pushback, that enabled that. So I don't know. I'm always in two minds about this. So maybe we can unravel that a little bit, because I know people listening to this are going to be, on both sides of the fence and battling with that themselves.
So the two sides are whether we should just allow kind of a decadent exhaustion to occur where Bitcoin then swoops in and saves the day. That's one side. And then the other side is we tackle it now, and we... I mean, look, here's my simplest answer to this is that if there's a way to prevent needless suffering and to shorten the distance between living in a world that has Bitcoin and a world that has Bitcoin later. I think we should just have it sooner. I think Bitcoin is so full of positive incentives, right? That that I don't see why we wouldn't want to have it sooner rather than later.
Okay. And are you convinced that the actions that you guys take, you know, in a political sense, are actually contributing to the goal of sooner, or do you think it kind of adds like cover fire? You know, the old justification for shitcoins is that they provide cover fire for Bitcoin, so that Bitcoin can do its thing and the legislators and everything go after the shitcoins, right? You know, is this to a degree, as opposed to, you know, maybe the stuff that you guys are doing there and other political movements around Bitcoin don't actually help the Bitcoin cause. They just confuse the totalitarian cause. You know what I mean? So like, kind of, it's like throwing spanners and confusion and shit in the works so that they can't actively cause problems for, you know, people who are holding, using, and wanting to participate in the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Well, I guess the way I look at this problem is something like, once you've orange pilled somebody, there's no going back for them, right? They would have to abandon, you know, once they recognize what it is and how it aligns with their principles, then they have to abandon their principles. If they have no principles, then okay, great. You know, that's a person that's like that. We just move on. But the calculus is that not all orange pilling is created equal, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can try to orange pill 350 million Americans all at once, or allow them to be orange pilled on their own, which is, you know, albeit a more decentralized process, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it takes longer. Or you could descend, you know, you could focus on, for example, some 500 odd legislators in the federal legislature, right, in the Congress. And if a majority of those people are orange pilled, then you're going to have an outsized effect on financial policy. You're going to have an outsized effect on Bitcoin perception. The media will have a much harder time smashing Bitcoin if legislators are all about it. It will just be harder. They won't be able, if, you know, they'll have an even harder time if it's both parties, if it's bipartisan, if it's bipartisan effort. So Senator Lummis has partnered with Kirsten Gillibrand to, you know, co-sponsor this bill that Lummis is putting forward, which is great. And I mean, I think there's something to that, right? So I don't think it's even about cover. I think it's just about opening the door, right? We need the door not only to stay open, but every time something like this happens, right? Bitcoin dies, but it doesn't actually, you know, it's died like 130 times apparently. And then every time something like Luna happens, and then every time something like Ripple happens, that adds more fire to Bitcoin. And then every time a senator starts to say something like, no, I think our laws are wrong. You know, Bitcoin is not quite a security. Bitcoin is something else. You know, we should take it very seriously. It's not going anywhere. You can't just convert it to proof of stake like some environmental groups want to do, which, you know, good luck with that, man. I just don't see how that hurts. Like, I don't see how that pulls us down. If anything, right, I think the United States will create a CBDC anyway. I think the government is funnily enough, this centralized thing has a lot of, as it were, decentralization within it, right? There are different aspects within the United States government that will disagree with one another and are sort of fighting over who has control over policy with respect to Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. And so, you know, the dust hasn't settled yet. And so we're just sort of inserting ourselves into that whole affair and saying that Bitcoin deserves an outsized role and consideration in the United States. And it deserves that because it will promote the well-being of United States citizens. And it's certainly, you know, the U.S. certainly does not want to be last on the Bitcoin train. This is a national security issue. This is a, you know, financial inclusion issue. And you know, whatever, like it also helps the environment. Fuck you guys. You know, like whatever, the environmentalists who don't know, you know, in what ways proof of work is extraordinarily helpful.
Totally. Yeah, they're just fucking backwards morons. Exactly. They okay, so
yeah. I mean, does that sort of get at your question, or did I miss it?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I'm asking obviously the hard questions, right? So it's like, you know, it's not just because obviously my position has always been one of, you know, looking at the state apparatus, for example, as the enemy, right? And why help the enemy? You know, let's burn the whole fucking thing down. But as you mentioned, like within this apparatus, there's actually constituents which don't represent the enemy. So like, you know, Cynthia Lummis is a good archetype of that. Like she's actually, you know, she's a good person. I've met her. You know, she's not the state, right? She is in the apparatus, but she's actually, you know, trying to, I guess, turn the wheels, you know, in a better direction. I guess where I kind of maybe stumble on this whole, you know, broader picture is the incompatibility of something like Bitcoin with, you know, a broader federal government, right? Like they're kind of two concepts that don't really fit in really well together. Like, you know, for me, it's, you know, maybe this is like a Trojan horse thing. And I don't know how much we can discuss this, you know, on a podcast, you know, that is. but you know, it's an interesting thing. It's like, you know, I wrote that whole Bitcoin is not democratic series, and you know, the whole series kind of by the end of it, I was just writing, right? And I was letting the ideas take me where they were going to take me. And by the end of it, you know, the big realization was that, you know, once we're on a Bitcoin standard, this nation state idea is gone. Like this large scale government idea is absolutely gone. It just doesn't fit. So this is where I wonder, like, I mean, if there is people in the legislature who understand that and actually want that and are working towards that, fucking hallelujah. That's a good thing, because if the, you know, if the US becomes, you know, the coalition of 50 states instead of, you know, the nation state of 50 states, that's a major boon to the world. So I don't know, I'm kind of talking around the topic here, but
yeah, I mean, look, we keep it sort of very, very narrow, right? In no way do we push something like
the end of the nation state.
Yeah. the United States will have a CBDC. We don't discourage it. The United States, of course, intends to keep the US dollar. We don't discourage it. All we say is that Bitcoin is promoting, and I think this, you know, this is the whole point, right? That Bitcoin promotes a better United States economy. Bitcoin is, if you choose to use it this way for now, an investment. It's an asset that millions of Americans have put money into. And that has very real, you know, that and the Bitcoin economy has very real effects for the United States and its constituency and its citizens. That being said, you know, I find your point really fascinating, right? The dissolution of the nation state. I guess what I would ask is something like, do you think, what makes you think that the federal state would disappear, but the 50 states wouldn't? Like, in other words, the 50 states are pretty much as arbitrary as the federal state is, right?
Mostly. It's a matter more of scale. That's, I think, where, you know, you... The smaller the the territory, the more easily you can orient yourself a little bit differently, right? So, you know, you can have California that looks very different to Miami, that looks very different to Texas, that looks very different to New York, etc. And they can operate based upon their own more local guidelines. And I mean, even a city is, you know, obviously, sorry, a state is even, you know, too large a territory, you know, to a degree to be functional, but it is still a better step than a federal level kind of government, because I mean, you know, having a few bureaucrats in DC have any say over what somebody in the country in Texas does, for example, is fucking ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever, right? So it's just it's a function of scale, and I just think that a realistic, like, I mean, the ideal world would be that we dissolve the states as well, and we just have cities, and you know, the American continent is made up of a whole host of cities that, you know, form alliances and coalitions or whatever, and you know, they kind of self-govern in a way that is more locally cohesive, but that's probably 50 or 100 years away, so, and it's not going to happen tomorrow, but you know, moving towards a world in which the federal government can't do shit, basically, and the states have, you know, the locus of power locally, which America is the closest thing to that already, right? America is already that kind of a structure, which is fundamentally what gave America an edge during the last 2 years of the Clown World simulation, right? Had America not had the states not had enough autonomy, you know, it would have been another Australia. Like, Australia's got 7 states, but they all did the same thing. They're all fucking Nazis. So, you know, because the federal government has the primacy over there. So anyway, that's kind of like my position on, you know, a large scale federal government requires an entire bureaucratic apparatus, which requires the ability to issue your own money, you know, so it requires all these primitives that kind of Bitcoin dissolves. So that's kind of where I see an incompatibility between the two.
Right. I mean, I guess we're going to sort of this ideal stage here where